Take your left, well, that'd be your left hand, be on that. So take your left hand, and go skip. Take right hand, go skip. And then skip to Malu means skip to the left. So you go skip to Malu. Say skip. Skip. Skip to Malu. Go skip to Malu. And take one hand behind your head like this, one hand on your hip, like go, darling. Not too much hip, we are fundamentalists. Okay, we got it right. Get your hands up, let's try it. Ready? Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip to Malu, my. Very good. First of all, flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Put your hands like this, Superman. Bring your elbows into your cage. Drop your hands. Okay, that looks twinky. Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Skip to Malu, my. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip to Malu, my. Good, good. We're going to slap him in the buttermilk. That's what we'll do. Okay, hands like this. And when you come down, you kind of have a little spittle problem. You go like that. Ready? Together? Ready? Slap him in the buttermilk. That's what we'll do. Slap him in the buttermilk. That's what we'll do. Slap him in the buttermilk. That's what we'll do. Skip to Malu, my. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip to Malu, my. Good. Buttermilk on your hands. Get your hands up like this and go. Slapped in the buttermilk. What can we do? Slapped in the buttermilk. What can we do? Slap. Kind of go. Yeah. Slapped in the buttermilk. What can we do? Skip to Malu, my. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip to Malu, my. Good. We're going to get him in midair. That's what we'll do. Get your hands up like this. How's the fly sound going through the air? You got it? Okay. Get him in midair. That's what we'll do. Get him in midair. That's what we'll do. Let's do some loops. Here we go. Let's go backwards. Get him in midair. That's what we'll do. Skip the Malu, my. Skip, skip, skip the Malu. Good. Well, we got him in midair. Show me your hands. What can we do? Junior high. Yeah, we got him in midair. What can we do? Well, we got him in midair. What can we do? Skip to Malu, my darling. I know. Wipe him on your neighbor. That's what you do. Wipe him on your neighbor. That's what you do. Wipe him on your neighbor. That's what you do. Skip to Malu, my. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip, skip, skip to Malu. Skip to Malu, my darling. Give yourself a hand. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Well, it's been a wonderful time to be with you wonderful people. I'm going to give you another song I wrote for Fats a Pirate, but I actually wrote it for teenagers years ago. It's a song called Whatever. I get so tired of, and they still do it today. There are still brain-dead girls on the West Coast. They used to, what are you going, oh, whatever. You know, they do that sort of thing. So I thought we got to have a positive connotation to the word whatever. Does anybody know this song? It's all Patch Cold Hardiker or something like this. It goes like this. Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. Excuse me, I'm out of breath. To serve Him in a foreign land or in my own backyard. I'll give my best for Jesus if it's easy or it's harder than I thought it would be. Practice that part. Harder than I thought it would be. I thought this Christian life would be a piece of cake. I didn't know coming to this Christian kind of be so... Wait. You know, I started to get wimpy. I'm going to go, harder than I thought it would be. Let me hear it. Harder than I thought it would be. Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. Boom, boom. Can you do that part? Boom, boom. Okay, you got it. What, what, whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. Just repeat that. Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my, to serve Him in a foreign land. To serve Him in a foreign land or in my own backyard. I'll give my best for Jesus if it's easy or it's harder than I thought it would be. Get wimpy on me. Harder than I thought it would be. I just want to quit. Whatever, whenever, wherever. Forever. I'm ready to serve my God. Good job. Girls, nice bum bum. That was good. Girl, seventh grade boys. Bum bum. Okay, I know how it works. Sorry, guys. It really works that way. All right, let's try it one more time. What? Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. Give me a little more volume. Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. To serve Him in a foreign land. To serve Him in a foreign land or in my own backyard. I'll give my best for Jesus if it's easy or it's harder than I thought it would be. Whatever, whenever, wherever, forever, I'm ready to serve my God. Boom, boom. Good job. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, you got it. All right, let's do one more. Y'all know I sing a new song, so let's try that together just for those that are new, the Ethiopian kid. It's just a repeat song. Where are you, buddy? Where are you? He said, you want a dish on me today? He was crying for it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let him look me over. I'm wonderful to behold. I know what he's after, right? I do this all the time. Now, did I teach? Now, I've taught this so many places. I'm sure I've tortured some of you in your younger days with the actions. Do I sing a new song? Have you ever done the actions to it? Do you remember them? Let me tell you how this came about. I used to have a guy travel with me by the name of Mel Barth. And Mel Barth was in a children's junior church situation down in Greenville. And the guy running the junior program said, in just a moment, Mr. Barth is going to come and he's going to sing a new song and do actions with it. Now, the problem was he had no actions with it, okay? So on the spur of the moment, he came up with something like this. Follow me. I sing a new song. Since Jesus came. Serve a new master, wear a new name, walk a new road, have a new goal, know a new peace. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Down deep in my soul. Get it? Get it? You got it? All right, be discreet, ladies. I sing a new song. Since Jesus came. Serve a new master. Wear a new name. Walk a new road. Have a new goal. Know a new peace. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Give yourself a hand. You did a marvelous job. Marvelous, marvelous job. Let's talk about the other D guy in the Bible. Let's talk about Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. I'm actually going to preach from chapter 2. But I want to remind you of the verse you all know when Daniel's mentioned, and it's in verse 8. We could say that Daniel is the poster child of doing what's right. Can I have an amen from the crowd, please? That's right. Daniel said, I will do what's right. Say it with me, would you please? I will do what's right. If you haven't come to that point, you're still going to listen to junk music. You're just going to have very empty, nothing friendships. You're going to mess up instead of help the cause of Christ because you've yet to wake up your teenage brain and make a commitment that serving God's more important than serving you, the world, anybody, anything at any time. And again, what is the statement? I will do what's right. Say it with me. I will do what's right. Now again, the verse you're real familiar with, it says in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, how did that all come about? Well, it didn't come up by accident. It didn't come out kind of, well, I guess I'll just do this. No, he was trained right. He understood from the illuminated work and power of Almighty God what it is to please, honor, and serve God. And he said, hey, this is the right thing to do. I will do what's right. Even under pressure? Yeah. Even under problems? Yeah. He said, I am going to be faithful, period. And some of you aren't that smart yet. Some of you haven't grown up in maturity enough to understand that's the only choice if you're going to please and honor the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we had a senior, a wonderful example of praying, you know, presentation yesterday. I'd like a junior. Is that dangerous? I'd like a junior, please, to pray for us here. A junior guy, take some leadership, volunteer for Jesus. Go ahead, my brother. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And you again ask God to work in your heart as we have this challenge here this morning. Are you ready? All right, let's pray.
Thank you. we're still trying to just fight against God, but that we're just, you know, our hearts will get weak and more than that. We'll just be willing to accept Him more than that. If anybody's here that's not saved, well, I pray that you would help them to this week get saved more than just be such a blessing to see that. Just be as magnanimous and say, well, just give them a good message.
Are you guys praying? I mean, are you really? Is this kind of like Bible Counts? We do it every year. Let's get it over with. Hurry up. Come on, let's go. You know, summer's almost here. Or are you really praying that God will just do a phenomenal work in our midst? Don't get so used to cruising along on this roller coaster ride of Christian education that you don't stop, drop, and listen. And again, pray for these kids around you. You know they're lost. You know what they do in the dorms. You know there's no hunger and thirst for the things of God. You be a part of what God's doing here, and you stay down on your knees seeking God's face, and again, be a part of that blessed, powerful working of God. I'm counting on you doing. I know the faculty's doing that, but I'm praying that you students are, again, spiritually sensitive enough to, again, tap into that resource of God's power through prayer. And I hope you're doing that for Brother Maynard as well as the folks that are here. Now, you remember what happened in chapter 1, what's going on in Daniel's life? Daniel's taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and his crowd, and they're trying to brainwash him. They're trying to help him, have him help them have a successful nation. They did that. They'd go into nations, and they'd pillage the country and whatever, and they just pick the cream of the crop as far as brainiacs and characters concerned. And here's Daniel and his buddies. Well, he's faced with a challenge right off the get-go. Now, again, you've heard messages, guys, 100 times over on Daniel because it's a good passage to preach to teens. But Daniel could have been a party animal. Daniel could have got down, got up again as far as his music, his whatever, his activities, and nobody would have known the difference except God. And you know what? That's what he was most concerned and consumed with. I will do what's right because I want to please my God. Again, you're not smart enough to do that yet. You still think you're the most important thing in the universe and everything revolves around you. But I'm telling you, you're nothing. You're nothing in comparison to a perfect, holy God. And again, folks, Daniel sets forth the right kind of thinking, which leads to the right kind of activity. He's faced with a dietary challenge. You say, well, that's kind of stupid. Well, it was a big deal because it was a command of God. He was told what was good to eat and what was not good to eat. And he comes to a time of compromise and he has an attitude about it, right? Don't you know a lot of people like that? They're doing right, but their attitude just stinks up the whole church. You know, they are making a right choice, but they're proceeding in a wrong fashion with the wrong spirit. There's no sweetness, to say the least, in what they're trying to stand for. Do what's right, but always do it with a spirit of meekness. You know, gentleness, a Christ-like presentation. If you're going to take leadership in whatever class you're in, do it in a Christ-like fashion. Don't get one of these things going, you guys are bad, and I'm good, you guys need to get right. And that's the way some nerds are, okay? They're again trying to make a name for themselves instead of exalt the name of Jesus. You cannot exalt the name of Jesus being carnal. Or having a right action with a wrong attitude. Daniel says, hey, how about this? Why don't we eat this stuff and you guys eat that stuff and we'll see what happens? Well, it sounds okay to me. And what happens? God always does. God always honors faithfulness. Can I have an amen from the crowd? Can I have a that dog go hunt? Yeah, can I have shake that bush? Can I have a real Tennessee drawn out amen? Amen. You guys are so talented. All right. But what happens? Look down at verse 17. It's just amazing, again, to watch God work and just bless these guys for just, again, choosing to do right. In verse 17, it says, and we're chapter 1, it says, as these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. Now, I know we have some brainiacs here. I mean, you are smarter than any of us would hope of being. But guess where that came from? Not because you were disciplined as a child. That's a part of it as far as maturing that gift or that talent that God's given you. But all that stuff comes from God. How dare you stretch your stuff and point the attention and be a spiritual credit hog? What you have, whether it's in hoops or soccer or academics or, again, just whatever your talent may be, that is given from God. And to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Now, how good were these guys? I love verse 20. It says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, the astrologers that were in his realm. These guys that they were going against were the smartest people in the realm. But these guys, God's people, who just simply said, I'll do what's right, they were 10 times better. Now, you athletic wonderments, Wouldn't it be real sweet to be 10 times better than any ball player on the basketball court? You say, well, I am. Yeah, right. You know, Wade, yeah, oh, Shaquille, eat your heart out, you know. Oh, Iverson, oh, you can't even dribble the basketball compared to me. You have a major problem. You love yourself far too much, and I have a song for you tomorrow, okay? Now listen. It would be hard to not have the big head if you could play hoops better than 10 times better than anybody else. It'd be hard if you were 10 times smarter than anybody else. But folks, how can you keep from getting the big head on the basketball court or wherever you are doing whatever you're involved with? Realize I'm nothing apart from the intervening and power and working of Almighty God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Well, there comes another problem down in chapter 2, and that's what we're going to deal with here this morning. In chapter 2, this guy Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream, and the guy is freaked out. Now, he must be past 50 because he doesn't remember the dream. That's for this faculty, okay? Yeah, he doesn't have a clue on what happened. That he knows it was very traumatic, he knows it was very impacting, but he can't recall the dream. So the guy gets a little ticked off, and he says, you guys tell me or you will die. Look what it says down here in verse 5. Well, going down, let me read verse 3 to kind of set it up. The king said unto these smart guys of the realm, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. And then, this is pretty funny, then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syriac, O king, you be the man. That's what live forever means. You the man. It says, live forever. That's what they're doing. They're kissing up to the king. He says, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Well, this guy's not stupid, okay? These are guys that, well, could you give us a hint, please? You know, just tell us a little. Well, they're just saying, give us some information so we can make up something to shut you up so we don't die. That's basically what they're doing. But the king is smarter than that. He says down in verse 10, but the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, this thing has gone from me. I don't remember. And if you'll not make known the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your house shall be made a dunghill. Folks, you have problems. You have pressure. But this is major problem. This is major pressure. And this guy means what he says. Look over in verse 12. He says, For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And again, these guys were under the gun. They're going to die. And that includes Daniel and his buddies. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time because you see the thing has gone from me. Don't con me. Don't try to cut a deal. I want you to find out what this dream's all about or you are going to die. Now, I love this. I see this. The older I get in the Lord, the more I'm exposed to how God works and how things go in Christ Jesus. I love to watch God use the unsaved crowd. Just uses the unsaved crowd all the time to set up His working and the miraculous, blessed impact that He's looking to make. And here's a statement that sets up what God's about to do. Look down at verse 11. He says, it's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not flesh. See? Only a real God could do this. Are you with me? So what happens next? Go down with me here. It says down in verse 13. It says, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Well, Daniel says, whoa, wait a minute. Now, if you're taking notes, there was a problem, there's pressure, there's going to be persecution, but here we have a proclamation of faith, okay? A proclamation of faith. Look what happens from Daniel's perspective. It says, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Well, Daniel went in and gave him time, and he would give him time that he would show the king the interpretation. Question, important aspect of the story thus far. Did Daniel know what the dream was about? Yes or no? He didn't have a clue, but he knew God did. That is a proclamation of faith. You don't know what's coming. You don't all know what's going to happen, but you know God does. That's why you trust and obey and seek to be faithful, because God's still in control. God still knows whether you have a clue or not. That's faith.
That's trusting and obeying our God. Well, look what happens in verse 17. They did something very important in the midst of this faith venture. They had what we call a powwow, or we call it today a prayer meeting. Look down at verse 17. Then Daniel went in with these buddies, and they again prayed to have God work on their behalf. Verse 18 says, they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Now, I want to show you what happens here, and then I want to get back to something, and this is the reason I'm preaching today, this passage. I want you to go over verse 26, and let me show you how Daniel, through the work of God, tells the king what he's wanting to hear. Look with me at Daniel chapter 2, and go to verse 26. It says, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, and the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. Now, at this point, the king is probably rather ticked off. He's probably going, then why are you wasting my time? Then Daniel continues, and look at this wonderful statement. I want you to circle this in your Bible. It, you know, as a seventh grader, it might not ring your bell now. Maybe as a senior, you're too stuck on yourself to understand what's stated here, but this is a phenomenal statement from the Word of God. Look at the next verse. It says, but there is a God. Boom! There's a God. He's not some X-Man character. He's not some manufacturing of some religious guys sitting up in a castle going, oh, oh. No, there is a God. He's alive. He loves you. He's looking to work in your heart. He's looking to bring to your life that which is best. But still, you've not caught on that God is real. Just as real as anybody in this room could be. And that's why you're carnal. That's why you're so corrupt in your choices of life. That's why you're such a hypocrite when you say you're saved, but you act like the devil himself. You don't have a true perspective of the true God. Now, what happens as a result of this proclamation of who God is? Well, Daniel tells the dream. And it blows the king's ever-loving mind. And then the king says, well, I'm done with you. You're dead meat. Did he do that? No. Look on in this passage. Matter of fact, he gives Daniel promotion for being faithful to God's bidding. Look down at verse 47. It says, the king answered unto Daniel, said, of truth it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man. Now look up here. Some of you got a warped perspective of what a great man is. It's someone that has money, power, position. No, that's not what makes a great man. A great man's a man who follows the great God, the true God of this Bible. Daniel was already a great man because, again, he followed faithfully the true God. But now he has an exalted position given of man. He's in charge of all these ungodly, wicked heathens. And again, God always honors faithfulness. Huh? Will you catch on to that? Again, I understand you're a teenager. I understand that doesn't seem to make sense. And it doesn't seem to work. I've tried that before. Yeah, because you're still trying to run a life that belongs to God. It never works unless you completely, totally give yourself to the control and working of God. And that's why you're still messed up. That's why you're still messing up the will and the working of God, because you don't really know the true God of this Bible. You may know Him as your Savior, but you've never stopped long enough. You've got to drop down to your knees and really again listen to who God is so He can reveal Himself unto you. Look what happens on in this passage. He says, He made him a great man and gave him great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors and all the wise men. It's like the Republicans being in charge and then a Democrat comes and takes over. That would tick off the Republicans. And it's that way now. Bush. Every Democrat hates Bush. I mean, it's just that way. And you know what? They hate this guy Daniel and his buddies because Daniel didn't forget his friends. Look what happens in the last verse. It says, then Daniel requested the king to set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat at the gate of the king. Folks, God's people are in control in a very wicked, perverted, heathen nation. Only a true God can do that kind of activity. Now, let's go back. Would you with me, please? Go back to verse 19. I want you to go back to verse 19. Here is the burden of an aging evangelist.
I see decisions for God all the time. You hear me? I am a spoiled evangelist. I see altars full about every service. I have just wonderful, wonderful, blessed time seeing lives change for all eternity. But the frustration for my life at this point is, how many are keeping it? How many stars as such of the Dublin Christian Academy are no longer shining for the cause of Christ? How many kids from Bob Jones I grew up with are now living worse than the world? They're perverts. They're divorced. They've corrupted their whole existence that's in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking, how come this guy's staying faithful and this guy's not? I've come to this conclusion, maybe I haven't arrived to the answer yet, but I think I'm getting real close. I think it's when you really get to know the true God of this Bible, you can't help but choose to do what's right. When you have a right biblical perspective of who God truly is, that's why I've been on your case all week long. Stop! Stop listening to you. Stop listening to your friends. Quit letting the world gunk up your brain. Don't let anything supersede being filled with the truth and knowledge of the true God. Drop down to your knees and realize you don't know a speck of what you need to know concerning God's Word and God's will and God's person, His character, what He's here to do and what He will do. You just think you do because you're in a Christian school. You know, you're still not doing right. There's something messed up in your perspective of who God is versus who you are. Now, let me show you Daniel's perspective. But that's why Daniel did right. What was Daniel's testimony? I will do what's right. Let's say it together. I will do what's right. Why? Because he's God and I'm not. Daniel caught on to that as a teenager. And that's why from a teen all the way through his entire ministry existence, he did what was right. Let me give you a taste of that here. In verse 19, you follow along as I read. It says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel said, ow, ain't I good? Yes, I'm hot. I'm so special. I'm a wonderment to mankind. Hallelujah. Oh, send me your money. Give me ha ha. You know, he didn't do that. That's what you see on gunky so-called Christian television stuff. You know, I'm just special. Baby, come out. You know, and all that sort of stuff. Listen, Daniel, again, realized, I didn't do this. God did. See, again, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Not, I'm great, I'm special, I'm wonderful to behold. No, he understood all good and blessed things come from above. It says, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now look at verse 20. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Remember what I said about praise? When you get a true picture of the true God, you can't help but praise him. It won't be something you stir up, you know, through some charismatic experience. No, it'll be a natural response for God filling your mind and heart. It'll just come out of you. It's not, I don't care how quiet you are. I don't care how, if you're a big loudmouth used car dealer sales personality like I am. You know what? It's just going to come from you because you finally understand, great is my God! And greatly to be praised. You ain't there yet. Because that's nowhere close to the testimony. You're still strutting your stuff saying how great I am. Boy, oh, what are people going to think of me? No, when you're really focused on God, you're going to think, what do people know of my God? Boy, I need to show Him. I need to demonstrate Him through my life. I'm here to be Christ-like. And see, you're not there yet, so therefore I'm not sure you have a true perspective from the Bible who the true God is. Don't fall asleep on me because I will wake you up, okay? I know you're tired, Bubba, but stay with me, okay? I know you're praying, okay? I'm not saying you're carnal, that you're... But the flesh is weak, my brother! You've fallen prey to the slothfulness of the wicked heart! I'm sorry. I just wanted to do that, okay? It just felt good to vent myself in that fashion and wake the brethren up. So again, stay with Uncle Mike or I will come and embarrass the socks off of your feet, okay? Okay, good. I just love that. Okay, going down to verse 20 again. He says, blessed be the name of God for... How can people fall asleep as loud and just as wonderful as I am to hear? It just amazes me. Okay. All right, look down at verse 20. I'm not trying to be egotistical. I just am amazed. All right, look at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Now you... Oh, I understand they don't.
You know, these people are stupid. I'm smart.
You know, wait a minute. No, you got the smarts because of a great God. And because you open yourself to that wisdom and understanding, that's why God was allowed to park it in you. Why is a person dumber than a... Listen, this man right here. Okay, come here. Come here right here. Why would this young lad here, this nice little boy, you know, doing his memory verses, why would he become brain dead as far as spiritual things, just dumber than a box of rocks to anything about the Word of God? I know, because he chooses to be dumber than a box of rocks. Besides being a seventh grader.
You are a seventh grader, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bless your heart. You're a poor parent. Stay here with me. Now, if this guy wants to be this man right here, oh, isn't he cute? Girls, you need to marry. You senior girls, you wait on this boy, okay? He's a good man. You know, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, listen.
If he's going to be wise, spiritual-minded, it's because of his parents. Well, they're going to help. But it's because of God. God says, if any man lack wisdom, do what? Ask! That's that stop, drop, and listen thing that you still haven't caught on to. Ask God. You don't have to be as brain dead as a seventh grader. Do you hear me? You don't have to be going, I don't know, I'm almost blonde, even though I'm a guy, okay? You don't have to be that way. You can have wisdom from on high. Listen, you can know how God thinks. You can understand God's will. You don't have to be ignorant or rather stupid concerning God's wisdom, God's will, and God's working. God wants to fill you up with that if you just quit listening to you and just start listening to Him. Look at the next thing. It says in verse 21, and He changes the times and the seasons. Now, teenagers, do you get tired of old people going around, it's getting cold, it's going to snow? Have they learned it does that every winter? Have you ever, you listen to them?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I better get chains on the car, you know. I better get those long johns out, you know. I better get bundled up with my snowmobile suit. Hey, you know, aren't they? That just drives me nuts. You know, that's all they have to talk about.
It happens the same way every year.
Unless global warming takes over, and who knows what may happen. Tsunami! Earthquake! Oh, brother. But you know what? Go kiss a tree if you need to. But understand, God is still in control. Can I have an amen? God is in control of what happens. Yeah, man has a part in messing things up. But God's will be done, whether we acknowledge it or not. Look at it. God changes the times and the seasons. This is another funny one to me. He removed the kings and setteth up kings. Brother Brainerd, what if Hillary becomes president? Okay, we'll all commit suicide. No, we can't do that. That's not a good Christian testimony.
But you know what? If she becomes president, God's still in control. You know, if I don't care Democrat, Republican, Independent, I don't care who comes in to as far as that position of power. It's because God allowed it to happen. And folks, we deserve far worse than Hillary Clinton. I don't know if there can be worse than that, but you know what? We deserve worse than that kind of just ungodly, wicked representation of mankind. But you know what? God, people get,
Rush Limbaugh says, well, Sean Hannity said,
and we get so caught up in all this wisdom of man, we refuse to again get caught up in the wisdom of God and understand God knows what's happening. God's still in control, and God's will be done. Be a good citizen, but not so brain dead to the understanding and truth that God is the true authority, the true power, and He makes no mistakes, trusting and obeying. Look at the next statement. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. You know, many of you have all kinds of facts and figures of Bible, but you still don't know the truth of God. I know the pressure some of you are under as far as academics and learning is concerned. And again, you've learned a whole bunch of good stuff, but you still don't have a clue. Why? Because understanding only comes from God. You can memorize the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and still not have a clue concerning the God of this Bible. You can? Yeah. Until you're saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the capability of understanding. That's why you still don't have a clue. Even though academically, man, you're hitting the nail on the head as such. You're doing an A-plus job, but you're D-minus or F concerning understanding. It's because you won't let God turn the light on. You won't avail yourself to what God's... You're still listening to junk. Even though you may be saved and have the capability, you're kind of crowding God out with the choices you're making. And again, you're deprogramming yourself when God wants to program you with His truth and give you understanding. Look at the next thing. He revealeth the deep and secret things. Do you remember the verse, "For sure your sins will find you out"? Say it with me. "For sure your sins will find you out." What does that mean? You're already caught. I wrote another Pat song. It just came out on the Villain in Venice. It goes, "Nobody knows what I'm doing. No way I'll ever get caught. You look this way and that way. There's one thing you forgot. God is always looking, and you're already caught. God is..." You are the prime subject today. "God is always there, so do just what you ought." Huh? Yeah. God already knows. Your parents don't have a clue. Your dorm soup, I mean, they're in the room sleeping all the time. They don't have a clue what you're doing. They have no... It's true. They have no... You think they're watching. They don't even know you're there. Okay, but listen. God already knows what you are, what you're doing, and what you're going to do before you even know it yourself. You are already caught. And understand, your sin will find you out. You're going to reap what you sow. You may not be exposed for your pornographic choosing. You know, girls have trouble with that today just as much as guys, it seems like. You know, nobody knows you're sneaking around the corner doing a little kissy face and moral activity. But God knows. And He's going to deal with you according to your sinful choosing. You're a pervert. You're perverted. Maybe you're not in sexual immorality or purity, but you're a pervert immorality, but you're perverted in your thinking because of the junk you allow to get into your head and heart. And you're going to be dealt with according to your own fleshly sinful choosing. Why not be like Daniel and just say, "That's junk, and God's stuff is what I need. I will do what's right." Are you smart enough? Do you care enough? Will you simply choose to do what's right? You know, God's gonna expose you for who and what. You know, this is a sad story. I was in a Christian school. It was in Danville, Illinois. And there was this kid, nicest kid in the youth group. I kid you, you just want to be around the kid. He was just a pleasant, nice kid to be around. But during the meeting we had, he came forward and got right with God. You know what his problem was? He was a closet pornography freak. Now, you know, back then, there wasn't a computer opportunity like there is today. I mean, you could pervert yourself without even, you know, anybody knowing it except God in the quietness of your room. But you know what? He did it the hard way. I mean, he hid stuff in his room. And again, nice kid, but messed up royally. And praise God that week, he realized how stupid he was and asked God to forgive him. Now, he'll have trouble with that the rest of his life. Listen, you guys messing around with that kind of junk, or you girls, it haunts you until you are taken home to glory. It's a constant battle. I mentioned that already. So don't go there. Don't do that. Keep your mind pure. Keep your heart pure. And just do what's right. Boy, there's a lot less hassle when you're smart enough to make that kind of commitment through the power and working of God. Here's another one. He knoweth what is in darkness, and light dwelleth with him. Has anybody ever been in a real spooky, dark place, scared, just... like scared the snot out of you? Have you ever been there before? You know, I stay some of the most unique places you'd ever want to stay. I mean, in a church building, when nobody's there, there are the creepiest sounds known to mankind. Every monster is hiding in every classroom and every place. And I've been scared out of my wits. This is the funny one. I was staying up around Erie, Pennsylvania, and they took care of me real well. They kind of pushed the pastor's desk aside and threw a box spring and mattress on the floor. That's where I slept for the week. It's a glorious thing to be an evangelist. And so I'm here at this. It's what happened to me, Moody, when I first came to camp at Mountain View. You put my wife and I on the floor in a box spring. I hope you feel bad about that. Okay. Well, Hutt was in charge, wasn't he? Yeah, it was Hutt. Yeah, it was Mike Hutt was in charge. Eric wouldn't have done that to me. Yeah, right. Okay, so I'm in... Now, this is an old restaurant, okay? It's a church planning thing. So it's an old restaurant, and it's got, you know, it still has the salad bar there. I don't know. But it has a salad bar here, and they've taken, of course, the tables out, and there's chairs set up. And I'm in the pastor's office right off the main room, and the wall only goes about 8 feet up, and it's an open air thing. So I'm in bed, and I'm trying to sleep, and all of a sudden I heard, but there's a bird in here. You know where I'm going, don't you? So I turned the light on. It was a bat.
and it had a wingspan this wide. It had teeth this big. And my heart's going thump, thump, thump. And I thought, I will kill. I am Batman. Okay? That's what I thought. I am going to kill this bat. So I tried to do the tree hugger thing. Okay? Girls, you'll appreciate me. I was going to get the... throw it outside, you know, with a sheet or something. How dumb is that? Radar, you know, and they're going to miss it. So I thought, well, I missed it, so I've got to be a little more pointed and a little more forceful. So I tried to find a weapon. And so I found this broom, okay, a metal handle broom. So I'm going, hum-bada, 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 come on, come here. You know, I missed the whole thing. And I'm kind of looking to see the pattern of this bat, you know. Here he comes. Now, you guys, I play ball, okay? I'm your third baseman. Rocket arm, you know? Terrible hitter. So I'm standing there. I'm saying, come on, go on. I went, what? Broke the handle. Just broke the thing right in half. You know, I just crushed it. I'm going, nah. You know, throw that thing away. Hide it somewhere behind the building. I thought, I need a bigger bat. Are y'all with me? Not bigger bat, but bigger bat. So I found this. Have you seen these plastic rakes that Walmart sell? You know, you can rake your whole yard with one swipe. Have you seen those things? They're humongous. I pick that thing up. Come to me now, baby. And I'm standing there like this. I thought, you know, I look so stupid, you know. I mean, it was just a very, you know, kind of looking around, see if anybody's looking. And here he comes. I'm on. You know, he couldn't swing very fast. And finally I said, you're going to die. I want to go to bed. Oh, man, I hit it. I got it good. But I couldn't find it. Okay? So now I'm in a different dilemma of life because he's angry now. Okay? And he really wants to suck my blood. All right? So I'm on search and rescue at this point. Now, he's about six rows back down at the leg of this chair. Now, am I going to go down and pick the bat up? Nay, I say, brethren. So, creativity is the need of the hour, so I go into the kitchen, and I find some of these prongs, you know, you lift meat off the plate with. Don't trust me with your utensils. So I go down there, and I go down. Now, look at this. You gotta understand, this is in the middle of the night, and it's still spooky. And I go down, and I'm getting ready to grab the wing of this thing, and it went, I stabbed that little mouse with wings about 473 times, boys and girls, I'll tell you what. And I killed it. I mean, dead, dead, real dead. So I took it with the prongs, and I took it outside, and it's probably about this big spread out. And I took it outside and laid it on a bush, and now I am victorious. I am man. I am killer of bat. You know, but the thing was, people always say, well, what'd you do with the prongs? Brushed them off, put them back in the drawer. They'll never know. No, I cleaned them off and stuff. But you know what? God knows what's going on in darkness. Y'all with me on that? It may be darkness of insecurity, darkness of fear of what's going to happen next, darkness of whatever choosing your mind seeks to stir up. God's there. And He wants to give you light of understanding. Don't let bitterness. Some of you are just, man, it amazes me still, Brother Moody, how many teenagers are bitter. Some of you are bitter because your parents put you here. I've talked to some of you. You know, I've heard some stories. But you know what? That's a dark pit you put yourself in. God wants you to give you the glorious light of His presence. You're bitter because you're not as popular as someone else. It's because you're so boring, okay? You're not friendly. You're always feeling sorry for yourself. Well, who wants to hang around a sad sack or someone walking around sucking? Get your head out of yourself and again be filled with the joy and goodness of God and have something worthwhile to impact the lives of others and quit feeling so sorry for yourself. You're in darkness of your own choosing. God wants to bring you His glorious light. And illuminate your understanding, illuminate your heart, but illuminate the lives of those that are around you. Y'all with me on that? Don't be afraid of the darkness. Use it as an opportunity for God to again reveal His glorious light, His ever-present help, and again bring forth that victory. Look down at verse 23 and we'll be done. It says, I thank Thee and praise Thee. It says, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Again, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Boom, there it is.
Daniel said, I will do what's right. And guess what? He stayed right. Why? Because he took time to know the true God. Because God wasn't just some religious hoopla and whatever. No, he knew the person of the blessed Word of God. He knew who God was. He believed God is real. And he had an understanding of God's character. Of what God is here to be and what God's here to do. And that's why I believe you're going to go sideways. You won't take time to know Him. You won't take time to know Him as your personal Savior. Well, no wonder you'll live for the devil. If you are saved, you don't take time to read the Word of God, to learn from on high, and really know the true God of this book. You know what? You can fix that here this morning. If you'll just admit that you need my Jesus and trust Him as your personal Savior, or if you are saved, really come down on your face before God and say, oh God, I need to know You the way Daniel knew You. So I can not just be faithful here at Dublin Christian Academy, but all the rest of my existence, my ministry for God, I can be faithful and fight the battle and finish the course, just like we see with other men of God who have got a job done continually and consistently for the Lord. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're not going to have any piano playing right now. We're just going to sing a cappella. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Some of you just simply flat out. You know, I've had teenagers, your friends, your peers, some of them come into me and say, Brother, man, my roommate is a mess. You know, they may be saved, but they sure don't act like it. You know who they're talking about? They're talking about you. You better, again, remember the verse again. You're in sin and you don't care you're in sin? More than likely, you're not saved. And you better settle the matter of your eternal destiny, because it's either forever in a place called heaven or a place called hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be with Him forever. Why don't you start that process of understanding to know God the way He wants to be known? By you trusting Christ your Savior. Now, here's what we're going to do this morning. If you need to get saved, I don't want you to come forward. I want you to head toward the back. You hear me? If you're not sure you're saved, as a matter of fact, you flat out know you're lost, I want you to head toward the back. If you are saved and you say, I want to be like Daniel, I want to make a commitment to do what's right. You know, I used to have that kind of heart commitment, but I don't right now. And I want to fix what's broken so I can do what's right, so I can know what's right, so I can be faithful from now till Jesus takes me home. I don't want to be another story an evangelist or pastor tells about someone who went sideways or wayward to the will of God. I will do what's right. Would you make that commitment here this morning? Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please?